Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas. Not sure if I'm on.
You're on.
January 18th, 2022. You guys messing up your paperwork yet?
Already.
2021.
It's going to happen for about the next 3 months.
Yep, exactly. So, man, my head's in a fog this whole week, so if I say something stupid,
just
we'll
this week.
It on Matt. Just this week. That's my excuse, anyways. Hosting along with myself, man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How are you?
What's up, man?
Not
sure.
But.
Oh, no. All right.
But. You know, but.
What about
February
the
27th is not far away.
Put it on your calendar.
That's right. And it'll be here before you know it.
I know. It's a Sunday.
That's right. Nobody has no excuse. Because they can come get a burger after church if that's where they're headed.
You'll make even make a holy burger.
That's
for
right.
Them, right.
Whatever they want. We'll make whatever they want.
Barbecue February 27th. How many years is this already? Seven? Is it
seventh?
Seventh.
Wow. And
that's nuts.
Speaking of seven, yesterday, the 17th. Was 10 years I've been on the show.
Oh my
God. 10 years.
Very nice.
And yes, we've missed a few here and there. And
not
there
many.
Here, but not
we haven't
many.
Missed many. Many.
But.
Actually.
For 10 years and what we missed, it don't even.
Yeah. We've had a pretty good run. So. Thanks to great guests like Kyle Jacks here. We appreciate you coming in.
It's a pleasure every time.
Oh, man. It's always
love
fun
being
having,
here.
Having you here. So, of course, can't forget about. Mr. Matt Esposito.
Why not? Everyone else does.
You look spiffy today.
What's wrong with your mic over there? You're breaking it?
I don't know. No, it just needs to be fixed.
No, I'm not breaking it. It just needs to be fixed.
You need duct tape?
No, we need
Oh, yeah.
You're rough on this equipment, man.
Sounds like you're going to stand there and hold it.
Not like some JB Weld.
Like, it looks like the fitting from your radiator.
No, it don't.
Not no more.
No, it don't. I'll vouch for that. No, it don't. Hey, it's good. Just don't
good.
Hit
don't
it. Don't talk into it. Nothing. Just
yep.
It right. Won't move.
All right, I'm not going to talk. Yes, I'm in my bright orange from my job.
That's nice. Is that your work attire?
Cool. Offered by the company, which is nice.
Yeah.
So.
Hey.
Very nice.
Maybe we'll get some listeners now. I'm not on the camera by myself. Maybe we'll get some listeners now.
Were you by yourself?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Now
how'd you
changed.
Manage that?
I don't know. I had you pay him or something. I don't know.
Reflection. I'll shut up.
You know, we changed up one of the camera views.
Sweet.
You know. One of Mike's input and
my request. All right.
We're gonna see how this works.
Wait, didn't you say you always use my suggestion?
We only use your suggestion. You never
right.
Like mine.
Right.
Complain about mine, and then later on you're like, yeah, we'll try it. After you complained about it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. A lot of racing coming up, right? That's all.
Yeah, a lot of racing this past weekend.
A lot of racing already happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Find out some more about that. I know Havasu has their winter schedule, right? They have a winter schedule. How long does that go till? Like April?
About April, May-ish,
April-ish. Okay. And then, of course, you just ran a race this past weekend.
Yeah.
And, of course.
He participated.
Well, you know what? Yeah, well, you know what's cool?
You should have heard off the
We don't want to piss nobody out.
No.
You know what's really cool is, it wasn't that long ago where we talked about Kyle Jacks as just a bomber driver, and he was talking about doing a modified. And look at you know, how long you've come since then, man. It's amazing. Yeah, and Sam, too, your brother.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought I'd never see the day. It's
and we'll get him
more than anything.
Okay.
We'll get him in.
Yep. Do you feel like, I mean, you're comfortable with the modifieds now. That's your thing now. I mean, you're a modified driver. That's what you are now, right?
I want to say that, but I'm, you know, every single lap is, you know, it builds on, yep.
Sure.
Every lap you learn something new, so.
You know, I think anybody who knows you or your brother and that have raced with you guys know that you aren't out intending to cause any accidents or wrecks or anything like that. I think anybody, you know, can attest to that.
Is this around listening to this show?
So,
see, if you said that about 4 or 5 years ago when I was in the Bombers, I'd say, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm out there to win. I don't care what it takes. No.
Yeah, that was freaking 4 or 5 years ago now. That's a thing of the past. But.
And it seems like the team, the Battleborn Racing, is consists of a lot of modifies now, right?
Yeah.
How many do you guys have there?
This last weekend we had 3 of them with us.
Okay.
So we're trying to bring, you know, more. We really want to see that modified series, you know, that touring series grow some more. And,
is that something that, because I know Vegas has a modified series and Havasu actually has their own little
mm-hmm.
thing as a 602 mod, but are you guys going to race the SRL Spears modified?
Yeah, we're trying to run that full schedule this year. And
okay.
I think there's only one race that overlaps with, you know, the Bullring schedule.
Okay.
So we're going to try to run all the Bullring races that we can as well. But
okay.
If we can.
Right.
From what I've seen, that's only one race overlaps. It's like February 5th, the showdown in Orlando.
Yep.
So
big showdown.
Yep.
You guys are going
to? Yeah, we're gonna go down there for that one.
Cool.
So
cool. That should be fun. Have you raced? And that's in the half mile.
Right? Yeah, the half mile. I raced it last year. I raced with the crate motor. I only made like 10 laps. It blew the front seal out of it. Out of the motor, but
so
I'm looking forward to next time.
So the Spears, they have a kind of a combination of crate motor, and they also have, I guess, what would be considered an open motor.
Yeah,
open
they,
motor rule.
Yeah, so you can run either or. Just, you know, there's this year they actually dumbed down the open motors. Like they went from, I believe there didn't used to be a rev limiter rule, but now you can only run 6,500,
okay.
And they shrunk the restrictor plate cups.
Okay.
So
it is restrictor and limited with the RPM.
Yeah.
They didn't do any gear limit
limitations
or anything.
Okay. Just RPMs and, yeah, pretty much. So.
Do you mind me asking, do you guys run a crate or do you run what's considered an open or both, I guess?
This year we're kind of running both of them.
Okay.
So within the next 2 weeks, you know, me and Sam, we just ran our crate motors down there, but I think we're going to swap those motors out for the half mile track, try to get everything we can get on them big tracks.
Do you notice the difference in the two?
Oh yeah.
And your driving style, obviously.
Yes, especially on the track because, you know, like the last, I've ran a crate motor every modified race I've done. You know,
right.
We ran Kern and, you know, the half mile in Irwindale, and the straightaway speeds that the open motors have is unreal. Like
right.
There's like, it passes you like you're sitting still.
Right.
But the corner speed is so much greater with the crate motor. You can
just
fail it in there.
You like bandoing it.
That's,
you know,
what it feels like, just foot in the wood the whole time. But
yeah.
It's fun. I mean, can't go wrong with either one. You'll have fun either way.
Right,
so,
right. Well, you know, that brings up, you know, the 602 and the open, the different driving styles that you have to do to gain positions. You know, if you have an open motor, you have a little bit of advantage, I think, to be able to just kind of let things happen in front of you because you know you're going to be able to, you know, use your motor to get up
right,
back
yeah.
into it. Where when you're in a crate motor, you have to really choose how you duck your nose in somewhere and carry your momentum.
Yeah,
that's the way to
say that's the key is keeping the momentum up.
Right.
You got to keep your foot in the gas as much as you can. You know, try to keep up with the open motors on the big tracks. The smaller tracks, it's a little different. The crate motors,
right,
I think, have more of an advantage on the small tracks. But
did you see a difference this past race? Because you raced at Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel most of the guys racing had crate motors, or was there a little bit of a mix?
I'm pretty sure just about all the cars had crate motors. Granted, I know there's a handful select of them that didn't, you know, like some of the and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, but right. So I know some of the Tucson guys come down. I don't know if they had
right.
open motors or whatnot, but I would say, you know, at least 90% of everybody probably right. had one. So, yeah.
Okay.
So it was pretty even competition, you know.
Do you like that they have the difference? Like, or would you rather see if, hey, if I'm going to run a crate, I'd like to see everybody on a crate, or?
I'm kind of impartial on that.
Mix it up a little.
Yeah, I like them mixing it up, but I just.
Yeah, because it's tough to see, like, when you go to a modified, and modified's supposed to be a high horsepower, loud.
Right.
You know, and they're just modified, you know?
Yeah.
But when you start running, just saying, hey, you got to run a 602, this is a limited, you know, 350 horse motor.
Yeah.
And you got to run these mufflers and this, and, you know, now you, and you can run these certain shocks. Are you guys allowed to run bump stops?
Yeah, okay. We run bump stops, yeah.
Oh, is that in the Spears or also in the...
We run them.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if they limited. I know, like, Tucson, I thought, used to have a rule where you weren't allowed to run bumps. But
I believe that's still correct.
Still, okay.
Only Tucson does that, but...
Right.
Does the car need to wear a mask?
In Arizona, no, thankfully.
We're restricting everything else. See, my
he hasn't went to California
yeah.
yet. Let
yeah.
us know when you go to California.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll find out.
Yep, I'll let you know.
Just put the mask on the front of the car, like a bra.
Yep.
Yep.
Put straps on it.
There you go.
So, you had an incident, I'm assuming, down there. Did you finish the race, or...
I did not.
Okay.
And
how many laps did you guys run, first of all?
So the race was 75.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I was disqualified at lap 70, so.
You almost made it.
Almost made it. Almost had something
so
there at the end.
So were you running consistent from start to lap 70? Or?
Roughly. I mean, like, I started second. I was able to get up to first for probably 4 or 5 laps.
Okay.
And I was.
Do you like being in that position up front, or does that kind of nerve-wracking?
I do. It's very nerve-wracking because you're, you know. You
yeah,
know,
everybody's got their – you're the target.
Yeah,
so.
You're trying to hit your mark so, you know, you can keep that distance up
right.
in front of them. But same point in time, you don't want to cook your tires up, so it's,
right.
it's just a strategy game. But, yeah, so, I was in first for just a handful of laps, and it fell back to second. Eventually fell back, you know, to third. And
okay.
I was there for most of the race, and then towards the end, the four car, I guess he had to go to the back in the middle of the race, but he made his way up, and he
oh,
was
wow.
up there with us towards the end. So I was running fourth
okay.
right when I was booted. But
were there two grooves of racing happening?
Oh yeah.
At that? 'Cause Hevesy's pretty good for that. So you can run higher the low
yeah,
for a long time.
This past race, the high line I felt like was better.
Okay.
You know, if you were side by side with somebody, you can get that drive off because that's
right.
what I was struggling with is drive off the corner, especially on the bottom. You know, you
yeah
try to be easy on it. And funny enough, even with the crate motor, I went full throttle maybe twice all weekend. So the outside line was working good on the restarts, I think. That's one thing I like about Havis is the two lanes. And you can make both of them work.
Yeah, that's what's fun about it. It's not a horsepower track, but at the same time, you got two grooves you can race in and make either one work to
yeah.
your setup, at least for a long, you know, majority part of the race.
Yeah.
So what happened at lap 70?
So,
I mean, do you feel, well, I won't, so what happened? You tell me what happened then.
So,
who's your spotter, first of all?
My spotter is Derek,
okay.
and he's been with us at Battle Barn Racing for a couple of years. And
he's experienced at
spotting? That was his second race spotting,
okay.
and the first one he did was for me in at All-American Speedway last year.
Oh, okay.
But he does pretty good, I
okay.
think. So, so there's a restart with 7 laps or something to go, and
okay.
I restarted fourth.
You're on the...
I was on the
outside. Okay.
And so on the inside of me was the four car of Anderson. And then in the front row, it was Giannini, and then Secord was on the outside. And we did one lap, and they were still side by side, you know, after one lap after that restart. And coming out of turn two, they were racing pretty hard. That four car might have been running that 84 out of room, and he's kind of running them up the track.
Wow.
I got a good run through one and two, and... You know, I peeked to the inside, and I was going to make it 3 wide.
Right.
And then as I was in the process of doing that, that 4 and the 84 car got together, you know, up on the high side, and 84 car went flying into the fence.
But you had no contact.
I wasn't within 5 or 6 feet of them guys. Like I was on the, I was driving through the marbles on the inside of the track.
And
like,
the video I just watched showed the same thing. Yeah.
So they, to me, they, I mean, I didn't see the video, and I'm just going by what you're saying. So they should have backed off and kind of tucked in behind you, probably, right?
Well,
if they're getting in the marbles and you're ducking down low.
Well, they were racing, and I had I was making a pass on them, so like halfway down the back straight, we were probably dead even, all three of us, and then going into turn three, I went to the corner like normal, and they got collected on the high side, and the 84 car jumped over the right front tire of that four car, and he went flying straight into the fence, turn three, so.
Okay. But you weren't involved in the accident.
No.
Okay.
Short and sweet,
so I'm still trying to figure out how you didn't finish the
race. So, after that incident, they black flagged me and threw me off the track because...
Were you wondering, like, why?
No, I was pretty conscious of what was going on. So in the driver's meeting, they mention it every week. There's a rule, if you are the car that makes it three wide and an accident happens, regardless of whether you made contact with the rest of the cars, then you get penalized.
Really? So there's no, and that's an SRL.
That's an SRL rule. I don't know if it applies to the super late models, but I know it's a rule in the modified class.
I didn't know that.
So, and keep in mind, this was with 5 laps to go, and I had a run on these guys, and I'm not trying to finish the race waiting behind them, watching them race. I'm trying to race myself, you know, trying to get everything I can.
So I've never been in that position where. What should they wanted you to just kind of lay back and let guys pile in behind you? And
that's what they say is just granted that this is, it's like a special circumstance. Cause that's the first time that's ever happened. I think where somebody's made it three wide and they've had a crash that piles up two cars and granted I'm very on the fence about it because when that crash happened, I looked over and I saw the bottom of that 84 car flying towards the fence. So I was like, oh man, like at the time I didn't know if I had caused something.
Right.
So I pulled up and I was waiting behind the 25 car. I was up at when they had crashed out, I was in second, at the red flag and kept hearing on the radio. They're like, there's a good chance that they're going to park you. And I was like, well, it was like they mentioned that rule and I couldn't, from where I was sitting, I couldn't tell if I had directly had something to do with that. So I felt bad because I saw that 84 car flying to the fence and I was worried that I'd cause that.
Right.
So when they told me to go park, I was, I was just on the fence. I was like, I didn't touch anybody. I made sure to give plenty of room.
Do you feel, so how do they determine if it's three wide? Is this like, if they're already in the process of wrecking and then you are able to duck your nose in and get past them, or
there's about a 1 second period where I was
that's
next
a tough call.
Where I was next to that four car and then they went up the track and started wrecking. So I don't know.
That's a tough call. I see if they've announced it.
they make it, I will give it to them, they make it very clear in the driver's meeting that is the rule and I understand that. But
did anybody come up to you and say they felt that you had made the accident?
When I had tried to go to talk to Eddie after the race, from what I could tell, he had thought I had something to do with it, which fully understandable. That four car, he swerved up, and I don't know if somebody was on his radio and told him they were three wide inside or not. So I believe he was frustrated or believe that I had something to do with it, but he was over talking to his family and all that. So I waited, half hour, 45 minutes to go talk to him.
Because adrenaline's high, I know you feel like you want to just, whether you are at fault or not, you want to just let them know, hey, this sucks.
Looking at the video, my perspective is you had the inside line before had the second groove that third car should have backed off because they were too far in to even make it through anyway.
Well, that's what's tough is if, I don't know.
To me, there's a lot of questions in that rule.
Right.
Like, I was going to say, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts, like special circumstances that could happen.
Yeah, right. But here's one. Those two were up in the second and third groove. What's he going to do, follow up?
Well, and
if I checked up to Mr. Peck, my brother was going to ram right in the back of me.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What are you supposed to do, like back off and then have everybody pile in behind
you? Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of what if this, you know, I'm not going to let somebody rear in me because these two guys are up here playing games when I'm trying to go race my race.
It depends on where their contact was and what your actual position was.
From what I gathered, I never talked to the head tech guy. It's Ricky Brooks. He runs that series. And he's the one that made the call because he's the one that reached over and grabbed the flag and waved it at me.
Right.
They had thought coming off of two, I tapped the four car and he got loose and ran into the 84 car, which from where they were standing on the exit of, or the entrance to the track, which is, exit of turn four, which if they were standing there, I could understand why, why they would see that.
Think that, but.
Right. But
you didn't see any contact on the video.
Not on that video.
It's tough because we talked about this before, different angles.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures and videos are worth thousands of words.
Right. So you guys keep talking. I'm going to look at this video.
Uh-oh. You moved your.
Okay. Let me back up.
Is it?
That's me right there. Fourth. That's the fourth car. The 84 is on the outside of them. Try to follow this the best as I can.
I'm sorry, but that looks like you weren't even. Your nose wasn't even to the tail of them two getting into it at that time.
No, and he had the inside line. Right.
The problem is when they called it. If like you said, if they were on the other side of that entrance, they can't.
You can't see what's directly going on.
That's
like,
what multiple flagmen are supposed to be looking out for.
Exactly.
And
one
in
the exit.
Spotter.
Yeah.
So, and the way I was thinking about it, it happens real quick in the car.
Right.
Like what's going on, I have a great amount of respect for Andrew, and I have a great amount of respect for Eddie, and I know they are superb competitors.
Right.
And, I got a run, and I was up next to them clean. I figured, they are fantastic racers, so I figured, we'd make it to the corner, whatever. I had the line way before the corner.
Right.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, and it looked like they were up.
It's five laps to go, so I'm trying to – there's a gap, but I went.
Right.
And I didn't move anybody out of the way. I didn't touch somebody.
That door opened up, and you stepped in it.
And, if somebody else is in my shoes, I'm sure they'd probably do the same thing.
So – you were black flagged for the rest of the laps. Did you get DQ'd in points for that whole race? Or
no, just wherever.
Finishing points.
So I pulled off on lap 70 and they just called it. So I think it was like 12th or 13th places where I ended up finishing.
Okay.
But it really stings when I could have had second.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because there's, not just points at stake, but especially for championship.
I'm trying to go for rookie of the year this year, and that would have been my best finish in the tour by miles. So,
is this something that's reviewable by Spears, or do they say our call is final? There's no review.
I would probably go with the latter on that. Yeah. Granted, I didn't directly go up to them at the time and be like, I wasn't anywhere near this. Granted. Right after that happened and that long red flag was going on while they were trying to clean up the 84 car, I guess from what I was told, my dad had that video on his phone and went and ran up to the tower and showed the guy up there. And he was, I guess he radioed down and said,
this is
you should review this.
Right.
And, Ricky Brooks, he's standing right at the exit of turn four. So I guess you tried to go down there and show him and he didn't want any of it. So.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't know if that's
correct. Sometimes while the race is going on, it's hard to...
Right, you can't.
Exactly, and I understand that 100%.
And Mike and I have been on both sides of that fence.
Yeah.
So
we wish it was easy and say, okay, let's review it right now, but...
I wish you had instant replay from every corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes you just got to stand by the call. My opinion, at least maybe once, we've had to make a call that was questionable and had to stand by it regardless,
And I understand that, and...
Just one.
Sorry, this is my second one.
So... Yeah, that sucks.
In Ricky's defense, that guy, I don't know him. But while the race is going on, it's hard to try and change something as the race goes
right.
on. So
well, and you
but to flat out pull him from the race,
that was the decision at the time.
Right, that was a instant call. You know,
yeah.
from what he's seen in that corner, that's the call he had to make. Unfortunately,
again, right or wrong, he made a call that he's got
right.
to stick with, you know, even as we stand here now. Yeah. Watching the video, my opinion is it was the wrong call, but I wasn't in Ricky's shoes to say, hey, you're, you know,
right, yeah.
he made a call. He has to stick with that call, right or wrong.
And depending on
the fair,
you know,
that just seems to me like to let Kyle finish the race. And then at the end of the race, decide if you're going to
but again if they say, okay Kyle, we're going to put you in second place, now you got the second place guy pissed off, you made a call that you got to stick with. Yeah, Kyle got the shit into the stick, but the man's got to make a call. And if he changes it, then the rest of the drivers are going to go, well, we can roll over him, he's pretty
right.
easy.
So,
you know, so he again, Michael and I have been on both sides of the fence, and it's hard to change a call after it's been made.
Right, and that's
you know?
Understandable. And like I said, from their perspective where they're standing, that is totally understandable that they saw what they saw or thought
right.
they saw.
So. I wonder, I wish, you know, if it was reviewable, and then there, you know, you might not get all the points you would have had, but maybe they could have like a, you know, 4 points, or, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to give you whatever. Yeah. Whatever they want to call it.
Even next
three
race, hey, we,
right.
we, you know, it, maybe next race they'll come, hey, man, I watched the tape, I watched the videos, I watched this. Yeah, sorry, but we got to stick
yep.
to our call. We know it, you know, I don't know them, so I'm just saying, you know, maybe if they come up and say, hey, you know, that was a bad call on our part, maybe it'll be a little better, but,
yeah,
you
see,
know.
I know I can't change where I finished, and that's
yeah.
the thing of
right.
the past, but, you know. I want to try to, you know, all I'd want to do or to come out of this is maybe to have that rule modified slightly.
Or have them clarify. So if you, I mean, to me, and I only seen it once, it didn't even look like while you're going in that your nose was even, and I know them guys were up high, wasn't even to the door of the car, the other two cars that were involved. It was, you were like, barely getting into the turn at that point.
Yeah,
and they were already up high getting
like
into
I said,
it.
There, to me, there's a lot of questions about that rule.
So maybe
that,
they need to clarify, okay, where does my nose have to be? Where
yeah.
do these other two cars have to be?
Right.
Because if there is contact, I totally understand.
Yeah,
the call.
Then, yeah, that's,
right.
that's where I'm at. If I sailed in there and wiped out that four car, you're
or even
totally okay.
Or
no
even
question.
Tapped it or got them loose
yeah,
on
I,
the straight.
If
right.
I made If
right.
I even just scuffed tire paint with him,
right.
I would understand. But, you
but,
know.
Yeah, you were totally
I was
clean.
A, I was in a different zip code
tough,
in the rocks, you know.
Yeah, you know, and that makes it tough for you because you're thinking you made the right decision, you know,
right.
at that moment. And from the looks of it, you did. But
well, the same thing. If you,
know, you
watched the video and you followed them,
right.
You know, instead of diving down there, where would have you
where
ended
else,
up?
Yeah, where
I
else
might
would
have ended
go?
Up right in the back of that four car and plowed him
right.
Right.
Yeah. Or, as you say, right, as you say, if you would have stepped on the brake just to slow up, your brother would have rear-ended you, and it would have been worse than...
Yeah, so maybe they need to clarify, you know, if you're not in a position where you are making an unsafe move to not be three wide.
Right, and I you know, it's, even when we're out there racing, I wouldn't purposely throw myself in an unsafe spot like
right.
that. You know, like I said, I have trust and I have faith in those other two guys to, you know,
right.
acknowledge I got a run on them and I'm next to them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But now listen to this.
What?
What's the first thing you read in the February 5th race in Irwin?
Oh, they're promoting three wide racing.
No.
So... He gets DQ'd for three-wide racing, and now they're promoting it.
Yeah.
Maybe I can understand going three wide at Havasu versus, you know, Irwindale, but at the same point in time, it's like, you know, I was poking fun at that yesterday. Yeah, I thought it was kind of
like,
funny.
Like I say, there's a the rule is the rule. But
yeah, and I understand
there's
that.
A lot of what ifs in that.
Yeah.
A lot, and here's a prime one right there. I watched
say,
the video.
I was
going
to say all it takes is a couple or one special scenario to come through and
right.
Maybe that rule of zero rise. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But
unless that may never happen again.
Right. But as you say, it's behind you. You got to go forward. But
right.
I would probably still say, hey, guys, we need to, you know.
Because you're lucky. You'll be down to the very last, the points battle at the very last race, and it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm still going to have this video on my phone.
Hey, look, this is.
Yeah, no, I think it should still be reviewed. I mean, because I think they're looking at the outcome. And like you said, like where could I think they need to look back at where you were and if you were to check up or you were to move your line, how that would have affected the other cars. And I think that should really be reviewed and play in the part.
Well, to me, that would have caused probably another accident.
Yeah.
Up high, 'cause they're going to be avoiding you and going every direction. And, of course, you know.
And as you know, in them cars, everybody wants the same real estate.
Yep.
So,
oh, yeah.
If you go
last weekend was a prime example of that.
And if you go over that curb, you're dumping oil. Somebody's going to dump oil.
Ask more colors about
that.
They
don't like drain pans.
Chris Bray had a late model out there. And funny enough, he had to borrow my welder, weld the oil pan back shut.
He got into the curb. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it bites oil pans. Yeah.
Well, that sucks. It sounds like the good news is it sounds like you had a good run overall if it wasn't for that incident. So you guys are a front contender.
I am very content with how that race went, granted, up until that point. But Sam still came home second, which is awesome. And I don't have a scratch on my car.
Right.
Except I will say on the left front tire, the Hoosier paint's rubbed off. That four car might have ran me up in the fence once or twice. But
it's
racing. Happens.
Yeah.
So
well, that's cool. At least you know you had a good run, and you know your capabilities.
Yep.
And
show me didn't come to play around. Come to
right, exactly. So, and then how did the court run? He runs is that Ryan Partridge's old?
Yep,
modified.
That
thing?
Is.
He got it running.
He bought it from them. He just had Jeff Schrader, you know, race car factory, put a crate. It came with the open motor. They put a crate motor in it, and they set it up for Havasu.
Sweet.
It was rolling pretty good. Right before qualifying, I don't know exactly what they changed, and I hate to say I wasn't really paying much attention to what court was going on because we were fighting handling problems with my car at the same time. But I guess they made some swing before qualifying, and it went the wrong way.
Yeah.
And after qualifying, they impound the cars until the race. You can't work on
them.
Oh,
no way.
You can only put fuel in them, check tire pressures. I don't even know if you can put fuel in them, honestly.
Wow.
All I know is you can check tire pressures.
Huh, I didn't know that. So how does that work? You go through tech.
So before qualifying, they usually have a set time. They want the cars on the ground and ready to go.
Yep.
And so what they usually do is they take the practice,
practice lap.
Yeah, practice laps, and they reverse it.
Okay.
So they'll come and find the guy that got the last place practice time, and they'll pull him up to tech, and they'll scale him and check him, and they'll put him first out to go qualify. And so they just work their way backwards. You know, they go and hand pick out everybody, like, you know, you come up, you know, follow this, you know, X car or whatever. And so, and then after qualifying, you go make your lap, and they usually it's up by their tech trailer. They'll just park you and
up just in line.
And then everybody
just leave them alone.
Everybody leaves them alone. Usually go eat or go take a nap or, you know, do something until the race time comes. But it's about the only thing you can do is check tire pressures and stagger stick they mentioned last time. So,
How's that scale setup they had there at their?
It was
15 foot tall.
Oh, yeah, the right
wood.
Left. So the left rear scale was about. So I actually had to get out of the car because it was going to drag on the way out. But the left rear, they have their roll off pad that they sit on.
Yep.
That thing, out the feet were all the way up in it, so it was on the ground.
Yeah,
and the right front one, they had They had like 2x4s and you know, wood stakes jammed in there.
Jumanji and whatever that game is where you pull the sticks out.
And then the ramps on the backside were all 2x4s going out, which they made it work. They were on the flattest pad in that spot.
Right, right.
So
it just unfortunately was angled.
Yeah, it sloped downhill and diagonal.
I was just curious if you guys, because it looked like everybody was going to bottom out if they ended up rolling over those. So.
Yeah, so they made it. They made all the drivers get out after this killed them, so they didn't drag the left side on them.
That's funny.
But
that's cool. Did you get a chance to watch any of the other races?
I watched the start of. So they had twin late model races. They had one before us and one after us. So, you know, after our qualifying, we were sitting there. We weren't doing much. So I watched the beginning of the first late model race, and that's when the. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went down. 31 car was in front, and he just drove straight into the curb, you know, going into turn one, and
right.
And then he checked the guy behind him, and then the guy behind him, which was Chris Bray's car, he got turned up onto the curb, and that's when it ripped the oil pan off. And so after he did that, he pulled on the track and made a lap, you know, dumping all the oil out. So I guess what they did is they red flagged everybody for a while. So after that, I left. I guess what they did is they – put the speedy dry down, and they pulled everybody back to the pits and sent all the bombers out there. And then after that bomber race, they sent the late models back out there. So, but it gave those guys time to fix that oil pan. They fixed it. They did one lap in the race, come and fix the oil pan, and went out, and they finished like third, I think.
Oh, wow,
so.
That's cool.
That was a Vegas move.
It knocked the motor sideways and everything in that thing.
Wow, that made it better.
Loosened the motor mounts and jammed it with the jack handle, like... they made it work. I was like, that's hell
cool.
Yeah.
Who was driving it?
I know his first name was John. I don't. Oh. His last name starts with an H. My apologies for not knowing. But.
That wasn't a Spears Pro Late Model race?
No, that was just a local.
One. Okay.
So.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting the way they did that. They, you know. They guarded oil out everywhere and just set the bombers out to go scuff it up. So.
Yeah. And you guys only had the three modifieds there. No other cars there.
Yeah, that just the modifies this weekend. We were debating bringing our bomber out because it's all set up. Like, we've got the ride heights jacked up and the skinny wheels on it. But just, you know, we figured we'd have a lot of other stuff going, which we did.
Yeah,
so.
Luckily, distraction.
Practice was over on Friday at, you know, 5 o'clock. And we were there till 8 o'clock with my car on the scales, you know, trying to mess with it. So we had our hands full, that was for sure.
That's cool.
So.
The next race, Irwindale.
Yep, Irwindale, February 5th.
Is that a
half mile
day race, or is that a?
I don't have an answer for you on that one.
I think usually evening.
I'm pretty sure they'll probably start at around 3 or 4 o'clock. You know, mid afternoon, and then they'll just work their way into it. Because I'm not sure how many laps we're doing. I think the mods are 75. The pro lates, I think, are 100, and then I think the super late models are 150. So.
Yeah.
A lot of laps to be run.
Yeah, that's their big race, kickoff race.
If there's a race to go to, that is it. Because just a couple of weeks ago, I watched Low Budget TV. They posted a highlights video of that All-Star Showdown of last year. And that, the racing in that was superb. Like,
sweet.
They were three wide all the time, and they were all, you know, pulling sliders on each other. It was super cool to watch. So I'm hoping for more of that.
Do you like running the high line there, you think? Or are you going to run kind of a Vegas line low and chop up high? That's tough because I've seen – it's so cool to watch both styles over there.
Yeah, I was
going to
say you watch the guy standing, you know, way on the high side, almost on the wall, and you can get to run off the corner that way. But I made the fatal mistake of going into turn three too high, and I backed in the fence and slapped the front end of it. So I've wrecked all the sheet metal and bent the left front suspension.
That's
but after that, I kind of ran a lane down from the high lane. But I'm down, I'm ready to throw it in the high lane.
Answer your question.
Yep.
5 p.m.
5 p.m. Okay.
5 p.m. Okay.
Gates open at 3, which I'm assuming it's the spectator gates open at 3. Yep.
Cool. That should be good. You know, and that's a tough choice to either run that high line or run that line that you're used to cutting down low and back up. But my opinion is what I've seen out there is I've seen more guys win just running that high line.
Yeah,
you know.
Say if because you can drive it in just about as deep as you can on the bottom.
Yeah, as long as you
even
know which,
further,
which
but
line
you can get that run off the top, and they get a crazy amount of drive off of that. So
you know, nothing against like your own spotters and stuff. Have you ever thought about looking at a spotter that's local there that knows that track that's got a winning record at that track?
Tell
him my secrets. Well, I mean, trust me, it's huge. I've raced trucks there a couple times way in the past, and once with just a regular spotter and once with somebody that is from that track. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that coaching is amazing. I couldn't believe, like, he was making me put it on certain lines and mm-hmm. where I wouldn't even thought to go,
right?
And, you know, staying on that high line, and it worked. And let me tell you, my times just were
sometimes it's all you need is just an extra set of eyes,
right?
You know, talking in your ear is dumb as that sounded, but
yeah, no, that's
I had so for a good chunk of last year, I had Chris Klein.
Okay,
he's very familiar with that track,
right.
And he spotted me there last time, and he was a big help, and he spotted me for almost all of our. I did probably 4 or 5 tour races. He spotted me for all but one of them last year, and he's a big help.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, he keeps me calm and collected because I get a little riled up sometimes. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
He keeps me settled, and he knows his way around the track. So
yes,
he's like, you know, if this isn't working for you, he's like, try jamming some rear brake and send it on the high side, you know, something like that. And it works,
right?
You know,
that helps a lot. You know, it's.
And definitely helps for future reference too, you know, because if you think if you're in that same situation again, you know, you can think back and, you know,
right.
Use that info. But
that's huge. It's pretty cool to just to hear you talking about that coming from the Bombers not that long ago, and just the seat time. And what does your brother think of your experience coming up real quick? Is he worried?
We'll
ask him.
He doesn't tell me that, but he's told me that he thinks it's super neat. He thinks I picked up the modifieds quick.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you both did. Cause I've seen you guys. I haven't watched any full races with you guys in it, but I've seen you guys out there, and just like secondhand to you guys, it's just like you just picked it up like nothing. You
I think
know?
Even
so.
Sam won in his, like, second or first start out
right.
here, and, you know. Sam's a good driver in himself, you know. He's always been that way.
Do you feed off some of his?
Oh, yeah. I take...
Even though he don't admit it, you think he feeds off some of yours?
I don't know. I haven't ever asked him, but I, you know, if he ever mentions something, I try to, you know, store it in my memory back here. Yeah. Try to anyways, but you know how that
goes.
Give
a little nudge while you're out there.
Yeah. So.
That's cool you guys are able to race together, you know. Not many brothers get a chance to do that.
Right, and... You know, I think it's super cool too, and even in the Bombers and stuff like that, I never got to race like door to door with him
right.
that much. You know, probably once every 7 or 8 races, maybe, because he usually yarded me. He was gone. But in the modified, you know, our cars have been just about the same, and there's been a lot of times me and him racing with each
right.
other, and
that's
I think
cool.
I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
It's hard to pick words for that, but I think it's neat.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
I watch him drive, and I've never got the chance to, like, you know, race
right.
with him. So
it'll be a fun ride home.
Yeah, as long as we don't crash in there.
That's
probably.
Right. And then it'll be a hell of a ride home.
So how's that rig you guys have there at Battleborn? Racing, that's pretty nice looking.
It's I got one word for that, and it is overkill. But
I wonder if Bill will pick me up doing something. I'll sweep the floor in that damn thing.
His old stuff.
Yeah, I'll sweep the floor in that damn thing. I don't care.
I think he needs a new one. He just give him your old stuff.
You're like, here,
yeah,
there you go. But I think I don't deserve anything like that at all. Like. A little flatbed trailers, I'd be.
I don't think I deserve anything like that.
He don't let me have any of that stuff. That's cool. How many modified do you fit in there? 2?
If we really tried, we could probably fit 3.
Really?
Wow. But, like, we bring all kinds of crap with us to the track.
Who gets
the
open trailer on the way there and home?
Unfortunately, Court did. But I guess in his defense, Race Car Factory, Jeff Schrader, he brought the car from there to Havasu. He towed it there for him.
That's
so
cool.
But we cram 2 cars, and we have like a buggy that we got like a bunch of canopies and chairs and things like that we strap on, and then downstairs we have the pit cart, and then like to bring a golf cart.
Yeah.
Bill doesn't get around like the greatest, and they let him bring golf carts and stuff. So we usually bring one of those, and he likes to cook, so we usually bring a barbecue or two.
Cool.
And tires and things like that.
How did some of the other Vegas people do? There's a handful.
Giannini won. He won the race, and then Sam got second.
Yeah.
I know the Williams boys finished up there too, up towards the top five.
I thought I seen him was fifth or sixth.
I think so. Yeah, they were up there.
Okay. Ben Williams.
I forget if it was Ben or Brian, but I know they were
up
there.
That's cool.
The six, whoever's in the.
Oh,
six.
I think that's Brian driving that car. But they did pretty good. Vegas did all right, I would say.
That's good. It's good to see, the guys come from Vegas and go kick some butt and
try to, anyways.
At least.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
What's the next race for the SRL after this All Star Showdown?
The next one is
because after that race. You have a Vegas race.
Yep.
A couple weeks?
I think it's
later,
the 19th or
19th
something like
or
that.
Something.
And then the next one after that is March 5th in Roseville, which is by Sacramento. So it's a haul.
What do you think of that travel? Is it fun to you? You like that?
It's the last time we went, it worked out because, even logistically, it worked out better. So we sent Bill Jr. and Derek, the spotter, they drove the truck. They drove the hauler up there. They took turns, and then the rest of us flew up there.
Right.
Round trip for five or I think it was four or five of us was $40 a piece.
That's crazy. That's cool.
So showed up on Friday the practice day and left Sunday morning.
You guys are feeling like professional. Modified.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, guys.
I'm that guy. You arrive and drive. I hate to say that.
Brian Williams from here from Vegas finished fourth.
Oh, good
deal,
man.
Ben Williams finished seventh.
Okay.
Props to them, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Good to hear.
Isn't that like one of Don's?
Jimmy Petrie finished sixth.
Oh, nice.
So,
Vegas,
a lot of Vegas,
Vegas was everybody except
That might be wrong. Jimmy Petrie got what? No.
Uh-huh.
Who else from Vegas is on that? Anybody else? No? That's it.
There's one of them that DNF'd.
Except for that guy. We don't count the DNF guys.
I said there's a good chunk of them down there, though. But
you see that series building up this year, do you think?
I would like to. I'd like to see it building
up. When it was Lucas Oil Modified, of course, it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
They had a huge car counts. And
even last weekend compared to last year, they had a great car count.
Right.
I think it was like 20 or 21 cars.
Okay.
It's 20 last weekend.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like last year, they were getting, 12 or 13 or 14 usually. So, granted, I know, Jeremy Doss, he's been running that series, last
couple
of years. He's not racing this year. Travis Thurkettle, he wasn't at that first race either. He's usually a
up front,
a repeat offender. But, from that first race, I don't know. I haven't talked to the 25 team or not, but they're running that All-Star Showdown. I don't know if they're following the tour for the rest of the year, but those guys, they're always good to race with. They're clean. I know me and him had a tangle last year, but it's just racing,
Yeah, nice stuff happens.
Gaps close when they're not supposed to. And
a lot of things happen, especially on a modified,
I tell you what, it took me quite a few races to get used to not having a quarter panel up there to lean on.
Right?
The very first time I did that, I went, whoop, right up on the high.
Yep.
Jaron would know. Yeah.
What kind of tire roll do they have this year for the Spears?
They usually just run the Hoosier 970.
Okay.
They usually let you buy four of them every race.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And then race what you qualify on.
Yep. So usually, they I think it was green paint they sprayed on them last week, but they mark them and things like that. So.
Okay.
Yep. Four tires a race and it's a good old 970.
Hey, are you getting just one race out of a set?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because
practicing after.
We can usually practice on them the next week. But even at a track like Havasu, tires are a world of a difference. I picked up granted, we changed a couple things in the setup, but I picked up almost 8 tenths just putting new tires on and a track bar adjustment.
How's the surface at Havasu? Is it eating through those tires?
Oh, yeah. It chews them up. Right. It's just rumor I heard, but I heard they might be chipping it up in May. So maybe it might get a repave or something like that.
Yeah, I know they didn't repave it, but they did some
like resurfaced it.
And I think when they had the Can-Am or whatever it was years and years ago, mm-hmm. it lasted for a little while.
Yeah.
But it started to...
It started
going
away.
Again, yeah.
It's definitely one of those ones if you... The closer you look at it, the worse it kind of looks.
Right.
There's all kinds of cracks and there's bumps out there when you're driving too. Even I poked a hole in my oil pan on Friday too. That was another one of our things.
No.
But I didn't hit the curb or nothing. I just hit a pothole or something or whatever. But
bottomed out.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rough, that surface, but I think it makes for good racing too.
Right.
You got to save your tires and.
That's
more
true.
Grooves to race
in. Tire conservation is something that, especially with newer, you're still learning, but there's other newer drivers out there that don't conserve tires. Mm. They just out and run and
just drive it.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they realize that, by the last 10 laps or so, they're like out of
the
race.
I'm freaking loose, man. Car wants
I can't do anything, right?
Yeah, I was that guy for a couple races.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Are there any sponsors and stuff? You want to talk about?
Absolutely. So first is Battleborn Racing. Bill Paddock and Bill Jr. and all the crew guys. We got Rob P. He's the one that did all the bodies. You rebodied mine and Sam's car last year. Derek, he does all of our tires, and he's my spotter. And just Alan, AJ, and Robin, they come out and help every week. Steve, CSM Graphics, he makes I think they're stout-looking cars. He makes them look good.
Beautiful cars.
Sunrise Enterprise, that's another one of Bill's companies. Las Vegas Rentals. Olsen Iron. And I got to thank, other individuals like my dad and my brother Sam and Court and, all those guys help out. And my mom and my stepdad, they always come to support. So
that's really cool.
My grandma and Mo Sargent, all the Sargent family, I should say, they're always a help. Granted, I know I'm probably forgetting somebody.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, not on purpose. I'll say it to the camera. Not on purpose.
Yeah, but it's cool. You guys have that group of people.
Yeah,
it's a help. It's
even besides the racing, we always manage to have a good time.
Right.
We cook food and we hang out and we all, after the races, we always go and, get dinner or go do something fun like that. So it's quite an experience, and I am truly blessed to do what I do. And I feel like I don't even deserve it, but
it's cool to be humble, but at the same time, you're a great guy. You fell in with your brother, of course, also with this group of people that I think have a lot of respect for you guys and doing what you guys do along with Court. That's really cool. So I hope to see you guys do some 1-2-3 finishes with Kyle up front, of course.
That's what we're going for.
Don't worry, when Sam comes in, he's going to say, well, Sam up front, of course.
Yeah,
he'll be number two.
And then when Court comes in, it's... No, I'm just busting your balls.
Yeah, that's cool. So the Irwindale race, they usually, like you said, like low-budget TV usually,
you can
stream it on there.
I think it's been for almost 3 or 4 years now. They follow that series, and they live stream all their races on, I think it's Spears Racing TV or something like that.
Yep, okay.
It's like $20 a month or something like that, but you can watch all the replays. And
that's cool. So if you can't be there,
And they do fantastic coverage, so
they do. Yeah, the low budget TV guys are cool.
So
pretty good guys. So if you can't be there, definitely look it up. Go to Spears.
Yep, definitely hit them up.
Yep, or look it up there and check it out. I don't know where are we gonna be February 5th. Are we gonna be watching these guys that are we now? We'll see.
I'll get back to you on
we'll
that.
See.
Thank you. They're racing here that weekend too. So.
Yes.
Do you think they'll have a because I guess it depends on the guys if they're going to run for points in the Spears or not, or if they're going to just run local in their backyard.
It there was a point in time where the schedules didn't overlap, and the Bull Ring came out with their schedule on the same day that Irwindale changed the date for the showdown. So they weren't, I think the original date was the 28th for the showdown, January, and then they moved it, you know, another weekend back, and then the Bull Ring, the same day, dropped that their first race. So it is what it is.
Yeah, scheduling's tough. You know, I know a lot of people.
A lot of people are like, oh, I can, you know, yeah, you work together and do that, but it's, I know there's more to it than that.
Exactly. It's tough to say. Yeah,
it's easy for them to say work with it.
Easier said than done.
Right.
When you don't get phone calls returned, when you, it's not easy to.
Yeah.
You know, and they got, you know, whoever's setting the schedules have to wait for approvals and all kinds of stuff. So
yeah,
it's tough.
And
you can have another one. Go ahead. I know you want one.
You're seeing the eye of two. You're like, ooh, I got to grab one. They had they were originally going to run the championship Spears race out here for, I don't know if it was going to be the same night as the Open Comp or what the deal is with that, but unfortunately that got something couldn't connect. And
right.
Now I believe our final race, it was going to be the 19th of November. Now it's November 12th at the Irwindale. I don't know if they decide if it's half or the third mile yet, but
okay.
I think we'll be racing Irwindale like four times this year.
I saw that on the Spears schedule that they got a few races on this year.
So. And they're running more of the half mile than the third mile. So
right.
Which I would rather.
And I don't know if the modifieds are on, but you guys have got a couple of Kern.
Yep, got some Kern races going
also.
Too. That's a fun track.
Yeah, we're gonna go this year, Gary. We gotta check out Kern.
We'll go.
So them super late models get the scooting, man.
Yeah, it's right here. We keep talking about it. We just haven't made it, but we'll look. We'll look at your guys' schedule, and maybe we'll come watch you guys up at Kern on that day.
That's an awesome track.
As long as it don't fall into something we got going on, which is really, I don't know. That's a slim.
I will say, though, if you come in the pits, they pit in the infield. So the cars are constantly going, banging off the chip. So
you're stuck in the
Remember me saying I'll sweep the trailer?
Can we use your helicopter, Gary, to get in and out of the center? No?
Absolutely.
That way we won't get stuck.
Yeah.
So the easy access is fly right out of there. Yeah. I'm sure they got a landing pad somewhere there.
Do you think you can convince Bill to get a helicopter for you guys?
No, wait. The hell with the helicopter. Convince Bill to get us in there.
if he wants the helicopter bad enough, he'll find a way. he always knows a guy, so I don't know.
So he can get a cargo one, be able to put a.
I say you just carry the car in there, drop it back,
get
pick the other
one
up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what the hell? Why
make
not?
It happen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I know we only got a couple minutes left, but I want to bring up that autonomous race cars that we talked a little bit about.
They were
F1
Indy car or whatever.
Indy style.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely driverless.
Really?
And completely dark. They turned out all the lights.
Really?
So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and it was one of them got up to record 173 miles an hour.
Wow.
And these are not remote control. They said the only thing they were allowed to control on them was if something was about to happen, they can drop the speed down on it. Other than that, they were learning how to pass and everything themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
That is neat.
That is insane, man. I don't know if I'd want to be around any of those. Because they were showing some, like, hitting the barriers.
Getting a little too close.
But, yeah.
Look it up. It's really cool.
The one main event, though, they did it in the dark. And it had, like, the LED Tron, like,
I didn't see that one.
Really?
I saw the one at
Vegas. Just saw him go around the track.
That is super cool.
And it reads the lines. Keep talking, guys. Racing's getting cheaper each time you talk.
Well, you know what the car will be racing for you.
All you got to do is
bring the car to the track and race itself.
Right. Sitting it. Yeah.
Stamp your name on it. You go.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey, thanks, Kyle. It's always a pleasure to have
you.
Looking forward to coming in next time.
Always a pleasure.
You're welcome anytime.
Hopefully we don't have to discuss your mishap.
Yeah.
You know what? It's been a good finish, but looking forward to that for the rest of the season. Good luck with your rookie
run. Really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You know what? And we'll see you live next week at CCM and onwardsnow.com. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for listening.